As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And a very good morning. The sun is arising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. And welcome to our Monday, May the 4th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. A couple of little websites you might want to check out, www.vocallocal.org and ozarksvoter.info. My name is William Roberts. Wonderful weekend that we had, a very wet weekend. Didn't get a chance to get out into the yard much at all. But anyway, we'll be looking forward to maybe a sun break later in the afternoon. I absolutely got to mow my yard. Anyway, I've got good news for you, hopefully. Hard facts, certainly, and workable solutions. Well, if you can use your imagination at this time we live. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular, remains the best hope for America. And Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the OracleBroadcasting.com chat room, or you can pick up the telephone and call in. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call 512-904-8014 to join us live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org. That's host@vocallocal.org. And for those without internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. You may send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96 out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Give a big shout out once again to Liberty Radio in Owensville, Micro 1650 in AM and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local. Again, our websites are vocallocal.org and ozarksvoter.info. The listener call-in number is 866-841-1065, and the Oracle chat room remains open. We can look at gold today. Gold is continuing its traverse in the $880 range, as apparently investors are seeking other sectors. We'll go there in a moment. Mesopotamia, Assyrians, Chaldeans, and the Persian Empire. Anarchy's roots will continue along that thread today as well. Unemployment, communism, not communism, but communism. Your calls, of course, we'll take that and much more. But let's go into those market reports for this morning. Monday, May the 4th, 2009, active trading as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold was up $4, trading at $889.80, just under that $890 range. Silver was up one penny, trading at $12.51. Platinum was up $6, so to $1,095. Palladium flat on the day so far, $215 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed on Friday, up 44.29, trading at 8,212.41. The NASDAQ up on Friday as well, 1.90 points, very minor little bit of an up there. But it is an uptick nonetheless. The NASDAQ, 1,719.20. The S&P up 4.71 points, trading at 877.52. And yes, I'm including the S&P now. Went off to Office Depot and restocked my supply of notepads. And wouldn't you know it, I found a bunch of little notepads that I use for the market reports every day that has more lines on it. So now we can include some other things. Anyway, continuing along, USDX, that dollar index, up 39 basis points, trading at 84.84. Crude oil off 50 cents, trading at 52.70. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
And we've returned right here once again on the Monday, May the 4th, 2009, live two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. Again, my name is William Roberts. We're going through the market reports for today and got the start on that in the first segment. Closing out the market reports for today, we see the crude is up $52, is up to $52.70, up off 50 cents off of Friday. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, 887.50. For a low, 896.10, about a $9 spread there. Year to year, it's up $34.20, however, for a 4% gain. That spot market's going to close in 7 hours. The foreign exchange rates for today, the Canadian dollar trading up a little bit to 85 cents. The Mexican peso is up a little tiny bit also, still in the 7-cent range. The euro is off a bit today, trading at $1.33 U.S. And that British pound, $1.49, also down just a fuzzy little teeny tiny bit. Not enough to worry about. But if you're traveling or if you're investing or if you're buying carloads full of stuff, those little teeny bits actually add up to something. Let's go into some news for today, a couple of different articles. First of all, on a program note, tomorrow I'm going to be joined here on air. I'm going to have Don Parmeter of the American Property Coalition join us. We're going to talk about a very interesting and critical piece of legislation that was brought to my attention by one of our listeners. I've got an email, lengthy email, that goes into the background of this. But I'll just give you a share a little bit from you, from this email with you. Attention, attention, critical, legislation to control water underway. We need to follow through on what Chuck Cushman urges us to do, get in touch with our U.S. congressmen, both parties, as well as other key people and agencies. This is more than just about wetlands and clean water. It's about water in general. Those that control the water control the people. And then dropping down a little bit here, let's find out what's going on. This is the Clean Water Restoration Act. It's coming on us and at us. There's lots of ways that you can get involved. But let's look at some of the keys of this bill. The key wetlands bill is coming in Congress. It's called the Clean Water Restoration Act. The new Senate number is S-787. And the alert here says that Senate is likely to move on S-787 shortly. There's no number yet in the House. It should be introduced in the House soon. You must contact your senators immediately, and I would recommend that you do that. It doesn't always work, but sometimes it gives them an idea that we're actually out here and we're paying attention. Here are some of the key points here. Do you want the Corps of Engineers and the EPA in your backyard? Do you want the EPA and the Corps to control your water? Do you want the Corps of Engineers and the EPA to control all of your watersheds, which also means your land, too? That will happen if the Clean Water Restoration Act, CWRA is the acronym, Senate Bill 787, passes through Congress. Besides private property, the Clean Water Restoration Act, CWRA S-787, threatens businesses, agriculture, small communities, grazing, forestry, mining, and many other uses on private and federal lands, public domain. It will affect many kinds of manufacturing companies and businesses. The real goal of the Clean Water Act is to give the Corps and the EPA control over your water and all watersheds. That means that the national land use controls as well as That's because all land is in a watershed. The proposed Clean Water Restoration Act, CWRA S-787, which has no House bill number yet, will give the Corps and the EPA control of your property and water. It will redefine what the term wetlands means in the law. It will eliminate the requirement that the Corps and the EPA limit their jurisdiction to navigable waters and give those agencies control over any water or activities affecting the water. Congress is considering expanding the jurisdiction of the Clean Water Act of 1972 to include all waters of the United States and not limit it to navigable waters as it currently under the law in the two Supreme Court decisions, the Rapanos and the SWANCC Supreme Court decisions of 2006 and 2001, so on and so forth. Anyway, tomorrow I've invited Don Parmeter to come on with us, again from the American Property Coalition. He'll spend the 2 hours with us. We're going to go into the water issues in great detail, the Clean Water Restoration Act. So pay attention to that. Water rights are a big deal. And there are a lot of people who live in the cities that have no real understanding of this stuff. But if you've ever lived on a farm or rural area, as I have, lived for almost 14 years on the confluence of two small creeks, two streams, one a fairly well year-round stream, and the other was a seasonal river or a stream. They call them creeks around here. Anywho, having the gov have the authority to come onto your land when you have water rights like that is not a good thing. Having them be able to tell you what you can and cannot do on, along, and around those creeks and streams is not cool. You buy the property, you pay the taxes, you make the improvements, you plant, you harvest, you do all the various and sundry things, but you don't want to have Big Brother in there trying to act as your moral supervisor, if you will. So anyway, there's all of that. This is an article off of Bloomberg, pulled it out this morning, May 4th. Has to do with the Great Recession. I'll just make this note before I go into the article. There was very little news in the news. And so sometimes no news is good news. But it also just tells you that there's a lot of stuff that's happening, I think, behind the scenes that's not getting reported on right now. And certainly as far as the economics are concerned, things are grim. There's not any real bright stories to come out with. There's nothing in there that I was able to find except a bunch of spin. So I pass over the spin if there's nothing that we can use. This article is rather interesting because it starts to get into the longer-term impacts of this particular downturn, and it has a certain predictive and explanatory power to it, so let's hit it. May the 4th, Bloomberg, this is by Matthew Benjamin and Rich Miller, Post-Recession America. I like the way they start that off. Post-Recession America may be saddled with high unemployment even after good times finally return. Well, high employment isn't really going to be an indicator of good times. I don't know whether even after the good times finally return, will the good times finally return. Hundreds of thousands of jobs have vanished forever in industries such as automotive manufacturing and the financial services. Millions of people who were fired or laid off will find it harder to get hired again, and for years may have to accept lower earnings than they enjoyed before the slump. This restructuring in what former Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker calls the Great Recession, you know, you used to have the Great Depression, now they're calling it the Great Recession, is causing some economists to reconsider what might be the natural rate of unemployment, a level that neither accelerates nor decelerates inflation. This state of equilibrium is often called or described as full employment. Full employment. It's a natural rate of unemployment. Fallout from the recession implies a markedly higher natural rate of unemployment, says Edmund Phelps, a professor at Columbia University in New York, winner of the 2006 Nobel Prize in Economics. Here's a quote from Edmund. Well, we'll pick up that quote on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
And we're back once again going into this this article off Bloomberg. The Great Recession will redefine full employment as jobs vanish. I don't know how many of you read the F.A. Hayek's Road to Serfdom or have the looked into the International Migration and Development Agenda, the United Nations plan for basically we the sheeple to be traveling all over the globe in search of our next meal, going from green pasture to green pasture. It's all part of the GIS, GPS, global governance concept. We're going to find out a little bit more about that in a moment. Anyway, back to this article. We're talking about unemployment and redefining various terms like the natural rate of unemployment as opposed to full employment. It's kind of blurring the boundaries between various economic models, if you will. But let's go into this a little further. The government May report on May the 8th that the jobless rate has jumped to 8.9% in April, the highest again since 1983, from 8.5% in March, according to economists surveyed by Bloomberg. Lawrence Ball, an economics professor at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, says that unemployment may peak at about 10%, and it'll be a long time, this is his quote, it'll be a long time before we see 5% again. Of course, we can understand that these, you know, as they say, figures don't lie, but liars figure. These unemployment reports and most of the economic news that we get from general and commercial sources are skewed in the favor of the bright side, as opposed to revealing the real downside potential of some of this. But here, let's continue with the article. It says, the more time workers spend without a job, the less attractive they become to potential employers. And there's a lot of truth in that. That in itself helps keep the unemployment rate elevated. Here's a quote. This is from Thomas Ball or Lawrence Ball again. He says, here's a quote. If you're unemployed, close quote, for an extended period, quote, you're not keeping up with new technology, close quote. He says, quote, you become discouraged and you change your lifestyle, close quote. Those are very key issues. Those are very key points. And there's a lot of truth to that, especially as technology changes and shifts every single day, it seems, in America, but certainly in certain trades and professions, the changes in technology, the new software that comes out, the new techniques, the new parts and pieces of the workplace environment, as they change, someone that's been away is no longer up to speed. You know, it's like when I first started getting involved in engineering, electronic engineering drafting, with AutoCAD and DCA, they were the cutting edge, really, of the PC, the move towards personal computing drafting. Of course, the levels of AutoCAD and David C. Arnold's engineering software that I learned to use is now out of date. It's old stuff. It's passé. Probably wouldn't take a tremendous amount to brush up and come up to speed. But nevertheless, when someone goes out to file a resume, they date themselves by the technology that they've used, and so they might be passed over by somebody that has tapped into the more modern technology. He also says here, you become discouraged and you change your lifestyle. And there's truth in that as well. If you can't afford that $150,000 or $200,000 or $300,000 home or that little Beamer that you were so proud of, you have to sell that stuff off because you got in over your head. You know, it doesn't look quite as well. Your address doesn't look quite as well. You're no longer in that gated community burb land that everybody can recognize upon hearing. Now you're out someplace in the subs, living on some indescript area, on a regular little two bedroom house or something. So there's all of that. You don't keep up with the clothing. You can't afford the real expensive ties and suits and things like that. And then if you want to go into the manual labor trades, being out of work for some time, you lose your zip, you lose your VIP, you know, your vigor and all of those things just kind of sliding away. And you kind of come in stumbling along where you used to have a bounce in your step. All those things are visible to someone in a management capacity. And they're selecting between people for jobs. Of course, the more people that are out there vying for those jobs, the competition just continues to escalate. So there's much truth in what he's talking about here. A burst of productivity growth starting in mid-1990s helped lower the natural rate of unemployment to around 5% from 6% as profit-flush companies took on more workers. Now is the fear that it'll be reversed as industries downsize. Also understand that back in the mid-1990s, a lot of those jobs were completely different from the jobs that had been lost in the late 80s. A lot of people from the various skills and crafts moved into a semi-technical employments, working in the high-tech industry, if you will. Many had gone to take extra schooling and learned how to use computers and so on and so forth, and so they went away from manual tasks and manual skills to computer things. Well, those jobs now are going away. So now not only have they lost their manual skills, they've lost their semi-technical skills with the computers, and their jobs are going away. So where will they find new work? This goes back to trying to understand how we're going to relate with this new paradigms, this lousy paradigms, things that we're going to have to make changes to respond to. And a lot of new businesses will have to be created. A lot of new jobs will have to be created. And we're going to have to do this, a lot of this from scratch, especially in the environment where borrowing money, borrowing funds for startup business might be difficult. Continuing, he says, permanent layoffs already. Almost a quarter of the unemployed have been out of work for 27 weeks or longer, the highest proportion since 1983. Permanent layoffs for workers who don't expect to ever regain the same job hit a record 51.5% in March. However, these are jobs that have just gone away, not likely to come back. Workers who don't expect to ever regain the same job, they're going to have to retrain themselves. They're going to have to retool or retrofit, if you will, to come back into the marketplace. And not everybody has the mental capacity to do that. And certainly there's, what are you going to do? How would you retrain yourself today for tomorrow's job market without any jobs coming into the market? Let's go down a little bit further here. Mass layoffs, those affecting 50 or more people, rose to a record of 2,933, comprising almost 300,000 lost positions. We're shedding jobs in industries in a significant way, and we're not going to see those same industries be the source of job creation. Bruce Cosman, the chief economist at J.P. Morgan Chase & Company in New York, said in April. Here's a quote from him. He says, we're going to be living in a world in which we're going to be feeling that the normal on the unemployment rate is above 6%. About 27% of automotive manufacturing jobs, or roughly 257,000, have been cut during the recession as car makers have trimmed their operations. Here's a little bit more on those job cuts. General Motor Corporation, the largest U.S. automaker, set a target of reducing 47,000 positions worldwide. Folks, that's enough to make up a whole town, by the way. You know, a town of 47,000 is a pretty good-sized community. The company also aims to eliminate about 2,600 of its 6,200 U.S. dealerships by 2010. That's a whole lot of closed car lots. A move the National Automobile Dealers Association estimates will cost as many as 137,000 jobs. That's all the guys that change the oils, work on the transmission, you know, not including just the sales staff and those people, the lot boys, the detailers, all the related businesses, the guys that do the work off-site for these, the trucks that bring the cars, that haul the cars in, all that, all those jobs, 137,000 jobs just kind of go away. GM wants to sell or eliminate its Pontiac, Saturn, Hummer, and Saab brands. We've heard about that last week. Chrysler LLC files for bankruptcy protection on April the 30th to streamline its operations in a reorganization that includes Italy's Fiat SPA. Other stuff about Opel in the news today as well. Hey, we'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us.
Amazon.com has been become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic food,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And to respond to one of our chatters in the chat room talking about the mining industry booming right now, especially Elko, Nevada, it is hot. There's a lot of activity worldwide. If I were to report on mining news and mining news alone, there would be far more news to report every morning than these various and sundry other aspects of the economy. But anytime you can get involved in this kind of a marketplace with the extraction of natural resources, you're likely to find more meaningful employment and better profits in those employments. As we went into the high-tech period back in the late 80s, I was cautioning people about that at that time, largely because, as I see it, you can't eat computers, you can't wear computers, you don't ride around in a computer, you don't live in a computer, and so on and so forth. So we were going into this unusual time period where everyone was setting aside their hand tools and other crafts and trades and going into this electronic thing, which, as you see, went into a big bubble. All of most of the manufacturing of these various and sundry plastic, I call it cheap plastic crap, all the little tippy-tappies, all these endless distractions and amusements, all of that was outsourced, went over to Malaysia, Indonesia, China, and elsewhere. So it leaves us now in the shadow of this high-tech bubble or high-tech boom, where we're not doing the things that we need to do to keep our own financial house in order, and we find ourselves with fewer and fewer and fewer jobs. Anyway, we fell for the scam of the service industry. And now we're paying the price. let's go into this a little bit further. He says, the daily average, jumping down into the other things. Oh, here we are. Okay, half of the auto industry jobs being cut or gone for good, says Sean McElinden, the chief economist at the Center for Automotive Research in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He predicts that the older displaced workers will retire, while younger ones will migrate to industries such as healthcare, where the wages are lower. Auto workers don't readjust well, McElinden said. Interesting there. They don't readjust well. Well, once you've had a good income and you've actually been making things, it's pretty tough to turn around to changing diapers and washing sheets. That's for sure. Financial services, and I should say this too about this healthcare thing. As we continue to hear more and more about a national or a social health system, if you look in your local newspaper, I don't know about yours for sure, but I know in mine, you'll find far more opportunity, so to speak, in healthcare's industry than you're going to find in anything else. You know, there's all of the, so to speak, baby boomers that are moving out, you know, their parents are in nursing homes, and some of them are now old enough to be looking at nursing homes as well. So there's going to be this increased momentum into this care industry. And with the government in there sponsoring and underwriting care for all or health care for all, we're going to see more and more people in that sector. So that's just another heads up. But again, you're not producing anything in those industries. You're just, it's another service job. Dropping down a little bit further here, the financial services also taken the whack. Employment in the financial sector, which has seen the demise of the investment banks, Bear Stearns Company, Lehman Brothers, et cetera, has contracted by 4.5%, or about 376,000 workers, with more losses to come. Zurich-based UBS AG, the biggest Swiss bank, last week confirmed plans to cut 2,000 positions in its U.S. wealth management unit. So we've heard a lot of this already. In the publishing industry, which is suffering from falling advertising and a migration of readers to the Internet, employment is down also about 8% since the recession began in December of 2007. Dropping down a little bit further in the article here, they say that the daily average circulation for 395 newspapers fell 7.1% to 34.4 million in the six-month period through March. Five publishers, including the Tribune, parent company Los Angeles Times, and the Chicago Tribune, sought bankruptcy protection. And the printed versions of the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, which I'm familiar with, and Denver's Rocky Mountain News were halted. New York Times Company has threatened to close the Boston Globe, which was founded in 1872. Considerably lower pay. Most of the publishing jobs cuts that we've seen are probably going to be permanent, quote-unquote, says John Morton, a media industry analyst and president of Morton Research, Inc. in Silver Spring, Maryland. Workers displaced from large metropolitan dailies will wind up at community papers and other places with considerably lower pay than they're used to, he said. And it's that considerably lower pay than they're used to that works us into this global serfdom again that FAA was predicting so long ago. So many people have said, you know, that as we move further and further into this new paradigm, the only way that through the redistribution of wealth that we can actually raise the standard of living for the whole planet, the United Nations Agenda 1, you know, Agenda 21 goal, this specious quality of living, standard of living, the only way that you can make that equal is to bring everybody down to the same level, and unfortunately we'll be going down likely to the level of Bolivian peasants is the way this thing is shaping up. A little bit on this particular article, the earnings hit. People who lost stable work in the early 1980s sustained large and long-lasting earnings reductions, according to research by economists. The income hit is all the greater when displaced workers have to start over in new careers because their old employers were in sectors that have shrunk. Here's a quote. People losing their jobs now and permanently downsizing industries have to be aware that they are particularly at risk of pretty large losses to lifetime wages. It continues. People tend to think that when you come out of a recession, you get the labor market you had when you entered it, says Lawrence Mitchell, president of the Economic Policy Institute in Washington. This time you may get something quite different. Might have to say that, you know, at the time where we went into the Industrial Revolution, came out of the off the fields and off the highlands of Scotland and other places, and we found our way into other places like Manchester, New Lanark, New York, Boston, and other places. People were moving from country or the rural to the cities to take these various and sundry industrial jobs. And in the course, as we had our guest on, Galen Chadwick, and he spoke correctly on this, in this course of moving or transitioning from the rural to the city, for a couple of generations, most people have forgotten what it's like to be able to grow your own food and provide for yourself off of the land, so to speak. Well, that's where the real wealth actually exists. So we're going to have to retrain and retool our own minds in that regard for our self-protection, if you will. Become self-reliant on a piece of agricultural property. And that's why tomorrow's broadcast is going to be important to you, because if you're looking for land and you're thinking about moving out of the city, or if you own land, when the feds come in and start monkeying with your watersheds, that's a real problem. All of a sudden you've got a new neighbor, you've got a new landlord, and you'll need to be paying attention to that. If we can stop this legislation before it gets in and metastasizes in the very body politic, as I like to say, if we can stop it before it comes in, not only on a statewide level, but at a county level and local levels, at every level, if we can stop it, it'd be far better than trying to have to react to it once it's been established. Let's go into an article, this by Vicki Davis. I'll enjoy Vicki's writing and her research. I hope to have her on this week to start what may be a series of broadcasts with her. She's done a lot of good research, and I'm in the process of reading a lengthy report that she sent to me. And once I get that my mind wrapped around it, then maybe we can begin talking about it right here on the air. But this one's called The Scourge of Collectivism, a nice, concise article. And again, this is her writing, and I'm just going to read it to you the way she's written it. Since the beginning, the objective of my research, again, this is Vicki Davis, has been to try and figure out why this United States is not the America I grew up in. I've been focused primarily on the government computer systems because they are at the heart of the transformation to an unrecognizable form of governance. True and true again, Vicki. In the process, I discovered that government and corporate and foundation systems analysts masquerading as quote-unquote concerned citizens under the cover of nonprofit groups have been sent into communities all over the United States to hold facilitated meetings, allegedly to redesign governing systems and processes to serve the needs and desires of quote-unquote stakeholders. And you've heard me talk about this before, these facilitated meetings, understanding who the change agents are, where they got their education, what their underlying agendas are. We talk about stakeholders and the actors and all of this stuff, the sectors. What these people are doing, back to Vicki's article here, is implementing the system of commonism. Commonism, all things held in common. Commonism, people of common interest getting together to design a solution for their common problem. But we'll pick that up on the other side and just see how commonism has become. Stay with us.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information, is only a page away.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
And we have returned again, going through this article by Vicki Davis, The Scourge of Collectivism, talking about stakeholders, everybody getting common here. Pretty interesting point of view, perspective. So she writes, now our common problem as American citizens is to understand that quote-unquote communism is social engineering, of course. You can expect that. If you don't mind being manipulated like a puppet, then communism is the system for you. However, if you're a person who doesn't want to spend your life fighting off gangs of communists who tell you how to live, then you better understand the system so you can send the communists back to the swamps of hell from whence they came. It took me, again, this is Vicki writing, it took me a few years to figure this out because I never thought it would happen in this country, but the more impoverished people become, the more attractive, quote-unquote, communism becomes. As wealth concentrates into the hands of a few people at the bottom have to join gangs to fight and, if necessary, to steal what they need to survive. The haves at the bottom also have to join gangs to defend the crumbs that they still have. So essentially, the system of communism is institutionalized gang warfare in which nobody wins. It's not possible to participate as a quote-unquote stakeholder in all of the areas of your life and that the communists are attempting to redesign. Excuse me. The effect is that people end up living in a permanent stage of siege in the communist system. Again, this is communist, not communist. The reason I recognize and know the system of communism so well is because it's what I did for a living working for corporations. Since I was trained as a computer systems analyst for the purpose of designing corporate systems, I didn't realize that systems analysis actually originated in the field of engineering. It is the methodology used by engineers to observe and document production processes and design newer and more efficient production processes. Within a corporation, it makes sense because the corporation has totalitarian control over all of the factors of production, including the employees for the 8 or so hours that they are on the clock. The problem with the systems analysis occurs when they scale the walls of the corporation and are set loose in the society to extend their totalitarian corporate control over the resources and people in the country. It means you're never off the clock. They own you. Imagine my surprise when I figured out that I was a professionally trained collectivist, not in the political realm, but in the business realm. But the perspective it gives me is what compels me to say, wake up, people. The last thing in the world that human beings need or want is shop floor efficiency as a way of life. Witness the robot arms in a car production facility, because that's the life you're looking at for your children, if they make it through the purge. And Vicky continues and says that, and there will be a purge, because shop floor efficiency demands it. The systems analysts will identify the categories of excess, which is waste, and they will flag them for elimination. After my epiphany on my career, I tried to read Karl Marx's Theory of Knowledge, but gave it up because it would take too much time. I don't know if it lost something in the translation or if he was intentionally being obtuse. I suspect the latter, because Theory of Knowledge is actually a deceptive marketing tool wrapped as a philosophy. Here, here, Vicky. That's the truth. I've read the book. Cutting through the brown stuff, Marx seems to be teaching people that they can understand problems and design solutions by ways other than being an expert in the field. That's only true to a limited degree, which is why the communist system fails. Because you have people designing solutions to problems they don't fully understand. Even if the quote-unquote stakeholders understand their problems fully, they don't necessarily understand the impacts on people who are unaware of the stakeholder meetings where the decisions were made. Just for fun, the next time you see a public notice of a stakeholder meeting, why don't you go to the meeting and ask the public official in charge? When they asked the voters if they wanted social engineers invited into the community to re-engineer the community systems, ask him when he became a communist. Who is in his cell and what is the pre-planned outcome of the meeting? It'd be great if you had somebody with a video camera filming just to see the look on his or her face. Once you understand what they are doing, you can cut them off at the knees and have a lot of fun doing it. And that's what becoming vocal local is largely about. Understanding the dialogue, the dialectic of these various communists, the social engineers. You know, while a lot of people were bringing George Orwell's 1984 into common parlance, I was still deep in my studies of Auguste Comte and the system of positivism, and to me, it looked like Aldous Huxley's Brave New World and Brave New World Revisited were the books that we really needed to be talking about. We needed to be focusing our attention on these people that have 2,000 hours of college training in sociology. All of these people that have been received their education on how to be a facilitator, a consensus builder, one that dialogues well, etc. The social engineers, as Auguste Comte talked about it, he visioned the Republic of the West being run by an appointed dictator, appointed by the captains of finance and industry. This is that corporatism that we hear all the time. But appointed by the captains of finance and industry, and that appointed dictator is supported in all the things that they do by a cadre, a bunch of these super social scientists, these sociologists. And then, of course, they all repair to the bank as their temple and worship the goddess. So there's much in all of that. So much in all of that. But we have basically allowed ourselves to be placed in a petri dish and slipped under the great super microscope of the social scientists. We find ourselves living in a pre-engineered environment. And too true indeed, when we find ourselves in these situations, no one ever asked whether we wanted to be part of the experiment. But as I discovered studying sociology and Comteism and positivism and all of that, we find that even just being part of the experiment, being part of when a sociologist begins to study a group, a community, just the fact that they're being studied begins to change the community. These is why we call them change agents. Change. Well, you're not going to like the change. And there are things that we can do on a local level to upset the apple cart, if you will, or set that apple cart right up again and fill it back up with those good, clean, pure, fresh apples. There's lots of things that we can be doing locally to affect change right where we are. Of course, if you are always going to wait for someone else to do it, then you'll just have to be ruled by whatever the change agents and the stakeholders come up with. So that's part of the reason why we're going into this rather lengthy study on the history and the origins and inquiry into this understanding of what is anarchy and how it has morphed in the modern period into anarchism. It changed something happened in the road from, let's say, Jerusalem all the way through until we get to the moderns, the Haymarket Revolution and other things like that. Something has transpired, but the feeling is still there. People at every time and in every place in the growth of civilizations from culture to culture, the feeling is still there. People are still looking at these archons, these people, the cadres, the oligarchs, the monarchs, and all the aristocrats and all of the rest. They're still looking at them and they're asking these questions. What makes them so special? Why do they lead when they always seem to lead us into wars and rumors of wars and endless wars? We find out a little bit about the religious background of all of these various and sundry cultures, and then we start to see the similarities that permeate the whole system. And it calls into question so many of the different belief systems that people have been embracing for all these centuries. But hopefully if we can understand where it all started from and move towards today, then as we look into the future, a future of more and more freedom and less despotism and less control, perhaps then we can be the change agents, if you will, of the future. We can start to put the shoe on the other foot, if we could say so. And that's hopefully, going to be the outcome. I sincerely hope that we will energize within these systems and start to take back the control of the ship. Somebody needs to grab hold of the rudder. This boat is listing on its side in the harbor and it's about to sink. But the hole was put in it intentionally. And everybody's left the lighthouse and they've gone to the outhouse or they've gone to the party house or they've gone someplace. And no one's steering this ship. They're just basically looting everything. Even the things that are nailed down. Folks, we'll be back on the other side to continue our study of anarchism. Stay with us and thanks for listening to the first hour. Be right back.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
As America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to the Monday, May the 4th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local as we begin our second hour, coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That's oraclebroadcasting.com. Visit the homepage. Check it out. Lots of stuff to look at there. My name is William Roberts. I've got good news of sorts, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today. Fortunately, the news is behind us now. We covered that in the first hour. Not a whole lot happened in the news. Not a whole lot shaking going on. But our civilization, if you will, is being shaken up considerably by the deepening economic situation. We'll be needing to look forward to a brighter future, visualizing that future and moving into that future if we hope to make anything out of it. I think that the future that others have painted for us is so bright, we're definitely not going to need shades. But anyway, if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place. And as I like to say, this is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular, remains the best hope for America. I'm looking forward to a freedom that has been unexperienced, I guess you might say, a future that has far greater amounts of individual personal freedom in it than ever before. I'd like to continue that American revolution, continuing to revolve away from the despotism of all of the various and sundry centuries and centuries and centuries that make up our past. And we carefully study the past, and we look into the future, and we try and visualize that future, and then we find ourselves always in the present, moving forward into that future, falling forward into that future, if you will. And we started out this exploration on this concept of anarchy, and when we did, we found out that an anarch is simply one that would advocate or one that believes that life might be better without the ruler, without that leader, without that magistrate, without the synagogue of Satan or whatever. Anarch, me, not leader, not ruler, arch, archus. And the oligarchs and the monarchs and all of the rest of them. The nomarchs, as we found. They're like the county committees, the county commissioners, the counts, the shires, the lords, the barons, and all of those. How do those people get their positions of power? So much of it was through military conquest. It's as though, and we've basically had the genes of militarism, you know, written on our DNA. And so as we find these things out and understand them just in a snapshot format, I've been sharing with you out of this book, The Western Civilizations by Edward McNall Burns, published back in 1961, I think it was here. Maybe it's 1963. Can't seem to memorize that one yet. Where is it? Does it matter? It does matter. 1963. This book was originally copyrighted in 1941. There's 1,083 pages in it. I'm about 250 pages into it. So far in our discussion, we're about page 79 here, 80. And we've come through Egypt, and we've gone into Mesopotamia. We're looking at the differences of these two civilizations and how they have shaped all of these years, all of these centuries, from then until now. So many of our roots are right here in this area, in this time period. We haven't even touched on Greece and Rome yet, but we're getting closer to that as we go through. So let's continue and make the most out of every minute of this broadcast. That a military nation like the Assyrians should have taken the first rank in intellectual achievement is easily understandable. The atmosphere of a military campaign is not favorable to reflection or disinterested research. Again, militarism. We'll be right back on the other side. Stay with us.
And
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.org Broadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Okay, and we're returned once again. And yes, if you haven't checked into the chat room, you certainly can do that. The OracleBroadcasting.com chat room, just click on the chat room link, go in, pick a name, or go in anonymously and entertain yourself with the chat. Very good stuff going down in there. Good convos all the time. Really enjoy this chat room. And if you'd like to call in and join us live on air, you can do that as well. From the Austin, Texas area, you can call in at 512-904-8014. And from around America and around the world, you can call toll-free at 866-841-1065. We're back in Assyria again, Mesopotamia, if you will. Just started in, picking up where we left off on the previous discussion. We're looking at the Assyrians as a nation of war. There's a lot to that, understanding that. The whole atmosphere of, again, they say the atmosphere of a military campaign is not favorable to reflection and disinterested research. There's not that sense of leisure and exploration in a militarized society. Yet the demands of successful campaigning may lead to certain accumulation of knowledge for practical problems do have to be solved. Under such circumstances, the Assyrians accomplished some measure of scientific progress. They appear to have divided the circle into 360 degrees and to have estimated locations on the surface of the earth in something resembling latitude and longitude. They recognized and named five planets and achieved some success in predicting eclipses. And since the health of armies is important, medicine received considerable attention. More than 500 drugs, both vegetable and mineral, were cataloged and their uses were indicated. Symptoms of various diseases were described and were generally interpreted as due to natural causes, that's important, as incantations and, excuse me, natural causes, although incantations and the prescription of disgusting compounds to drive out demons were still commonly employed as methods of treatment. Our culture has a lot to do with who we are as people and the things that we turn to. And this idea of having demons and dragons and all of that other stuff was still persistent among them. In the domain of art, well, we don't need to talk about art. Let's drop down a little further. Assyrian culture reached its height in the 7th century. This would be 7th century B.C. during the reign of Assurbanipal, a man of considerable refinement. He was almost the only ruler of the nation to devote any attention to the patronage of learning and the arts. So you can see as the culture and the civilization started to settle down a little bit and mellow out, then we start thinking on higher things. Assurbanipal ordered his scribes to collect all the copies of the Babylonian writings that could be found on every conceivable subject and bring them to the royal library at Nineveh. Underline that, highlight it, as I have. Why? Because from, you know, time immemorial, basically, as we started to develop these various and sundry abilities at writing and keeping records and keeping track, great purges of that knowledge have occurred. Great libraries, leaders have gathered up this information, and they've brought them into specific concentrated locations. Think of the U.S. going into Iraq the second time and making the beeline for the libraries and the museums and sacking them and looting them. Where that information winds up, you only find out later. Where it turns up in the basement of in the catacombs of the archives, or it turns up in the basement of Oxford Christ Church, or it winds up in some of the places that we have for that kind of those repositories here in the United States. But as to whether or not you or I can sit down and learn from them and benefit from them, that's always a question. At that point, it's on the need-to-know basis. And some information is so classified that they just simply will not release it. And they need to do that in order to promote and to perpetuate the various and sundry cultures that are in existence today. Things that are deemed damaging or have the potential to damage culture and tradition, especially religious and political things, would be deemed perhaps state secrets. They're too dangerous to let the people have access to. And so we may see some of that, but obviously, let's continue, and we'll see that not all of this stuff was taken out of circulation. Where necessary, again, they were talking about Assurbanipal, where necessary, he authorized revisions to be made in order to bring the ancient learning into harmony with more recent knowledge. That's another one of these things that are kind of difficult to deal with. As long as the original documents are preserved unmolested, that's one thing. Then you can put in, you know, do revisions and bring it into harmony with modern understanding. But at the same time, historical revisionism clouds and obfuscates that which has come before us. And these are more parts of this mysterious puzzle that need to be understood. Under Assurbanipal's patronage, the royal library came to contain more than 22,000 tablets. And again, we're talking about these little clay tablets. Many of them were magic formulas. But included in the lot were thousands of letters, business documents, and military chronicles. And it continues. But the king himself, was the author of an autobiography and of numerous letters that displayed some literary talent. But the most important of the original compositions of the Assyrians were the narratives of their military campaigns, which in their highly embellished and in literary, deliberately exaggerated form, represent one of the earliest attempts at patriotic historical writing. And the key phrase that is, patriotic historical writing. You know, we say, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. But too often, the facts are colored by this patriotic historical writing. The idea that the winner gets to define the history, so to speak. To the victor goes the spoils. Let's drop into the Chaldeans, go away from the Assyrians. The Mesopotamian civilization entered its final stage with the overthrow of Assyria and the establishment of the Chaldean supremacy. This stage is often called the Neo-Babylonian, because Nebuchadnezzar and his followers restored the capital of Babylon and attempted to revive the culture of Hammurabi's time. We've spoken about that. Drop down here a bit. It was in religion that the failure of the Chaldean Renaissance was most conspicuous. Although Marduk was restored to his traditional place at the head of the pantheon, the system of belief was little more than superficially Babylon or Babylonian. What the Chaldeans really did was to develop an astral religion. The gods were divested of their limited human qualities and exalted into transcendence, omnipotent beings. They were actually identified with the planets themselves. Marduk became Jupiter, Ishtar became Venus, and so on. Though still not entirely aloof from man, they certainly lost their character as beings that, who could be cajoled and threatened and coerced by magic. They ruled the universe almost mechanically. And while their immediate intentions were sometimes discernible, their ultimate purposes were inscrutable. Now, what's with all of this? We understand that in this, man invents his gods. And that's a fact. And they ascribe to them various and sundry fantastical things. And yet, at the same time, it's a little bit, you know, a little something borrowed, something new, something old, something blue. It's difficult to draw a line in the sand and say this. Because it blurs. And it's blurring all the time. And unfortunately, it gets handed down and it's been so blurred now that we can scarcely recognize the value. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Oh,
All right, now we are back again. So let's figure out a little bit more about this and try and understand. This is another one of the many reasons why I'm trying to bring this information out in this particular fashion. And this author, even though there's lots of room for study, and he's given plenty of research, you know, references in the back, bibliographies and other books to read, and they're good ones. But even though he's doing this in a very good way, he's covering vast amounts of ground and covering vast amounts of information, and he's bringing into the discussion in several ways important key aspects of each of these various time periods that I find enjoyable. I'm making great progress reading through this book, largely because I enjoy his writing style. Again, and this was a college textbook. This one was published back in 1963. And originally published the first time around in 1941. A lot of these great educators, a lot of these great teachers are dead. They're no longer in the system. And they were still men who felt in their heart of hearts and in their minds that to write anything but the truth would forever seal their fate, so to speak. And so they stuck pretty close to the truth. There are agendas going on in this book. But I'm trying to skip over some of the parts that that lead us into false conclusions and just try and stick with his research. But here, two significant results flowed from these amazing conceptions. The first was an attitude of fatalism, since the ways of the God were past finding out. All that man could do was to resign himself to his fate. It behooved him, therefore, to submit absolutely to the gods, to trust in them implicitly, in the vague hope that the results in the end would be good. Thus arose, for the first time in history, the concept of piety as submission. Humble yourself before God. A conception which was adopted in several other religions, and that's for sure, as we shall see in succeeding chapters. For the Chaldeans, or the Chaldeans, it implied no otherworldly significance. One did not resign himself to the calamities in this life in order to be justified in the next. The Chaldeans had no interest in a life to come. Submission might bring them earthly rewards, but in the main, as they conceived it, it was not a means to an end at all. It was rather just an expression of an attitude of despair, of humility, in the face of mysteries that could not be fathomed. And so you can see how this kind of a religion would influence their culture and their way of life, their attitudes, their way of dress, the architecture and everything, their art, their thinking, their writing. And largely it was just this militaristic fatalism that permeated their entire system, their civilization. Continuing here, the author writes, the second great result, which came from the growth of an astral religion, was the development of a stronger spiritual consciousness. This is revealed in the penitential hymns of unknown authors and in the prayers which were ascribed to Nebuchadnezzar and other kings as the spokesman for the nation. Again, we've talked about tongues, tribes, creeds that develop cultures that become nations that then make themselves states. It's a chain of development of peoples. But again, back to here again. In most of these, and these are the hymns and the prayers, in most of them, the gods are addressed as exalted beings who are concerned with justice and righteous conduct on the part of men. Although the distinction between ceremonial and genuine morality is not always sharply drawn. Now here's an interesting little tidbit, and we keep finding these throughout this text and other places. It has been asserted by one author that these hymns could have been used by the Hebrews with little modification except for the substitution of the name Yahweh for that of the Chaldean gods. And here they draw our attention to the footnote to Morris Jastrow in his work, The Civilization of Babylonia and Assyria. I have in my library a complete work by Morris Jastrow. At a time when I was going through the Bible in Hebrew, because Morris Jastrow published a dictionary, if you will, of Talmudic and Babylonian and Hebrew type terminology that would help me to be able to read the Hebrew and understand the writings better. He knows what he was talking about. This is a good researcher, and it was a joy to find his reference here. But he asserted again that these hymns could have been used for by the Hebrews with little modification, except for the substitution of the name Yahweh for that of the Chaldean gods. Something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. With the gods promoted to so lofty a plane, it was perhaps inevitable that man should have been abased. Creatures possessed of mortal bodies could not be compared with sort of transcendent, passionless beings who dwelt in the stars and guided the destinies of the earth. Man was a lowly creature, sunk in iniquity and vileness, and hardly even worthy of approaching the gods. The consciousness of sin already present in the Babylonian Assyrian religions now reached a stage of almost pathological intensity. Pathologies. Pathos. You can see how religions have the way of just infecting, if you will, all of the peoples. It transmutes into their actions. Words are important. Words have meanings, and on we go with that. But words actually have the ability to shape our reality. And so for these people, this religion that they had, this astral religion, shaped them into this pathological intensity. In the hymns, the sons of men are compared to prisoners bound hand and foot, languishing in darkness. Their transgressions are 7 times 7. Their misery is increased by the fact that their evil nature has prompted them to sin unwittingly. Never before had men been regarded so hopelessly depraved, nor had religion been fraught with so gloomy a view of life. Interesting, is it not? Give you an idea what it would be like on the streets in their time. Curiously enough, the pessimism of the Chaldeans does not appear to have affected their morality very much. So far as the evidence goes, they indulged in no rigors of asceticism. They did not mortify the flesh. They did not even practice self-denial. Apparently, they took it for granted that man could not avoid sinning no matter how hard he tried. They seem to have been just as deeply engrossed in the material interests of life and in the pursuits of pleasures of senses as of the earlier nations. Indeed, it seems that they were even more greedy and sensual. Occasional references were made in their prayers and hymns to reverence, kindness, and purity of their hearts as virtues, and to oppression, slander, and anger as vices. But these were intermingled with ritualistic conceptions of cleanness and uncleanness, and with expressions of desire for physical satisfactions. When the Chaldeans prayed, it was not always that their gods would make them good, but more often that they would grant long years, abundant offspring, and luxurious living. Maybe some of those prayers are being raised up to the heavens today in America. Long years, abundant offspring, and luxurious living. These various and sundry philosophies have tremendous impact on the people. And as we draw these things out, we'll see how they have a tremendous impact on the Holy Writ. Aside from religion, the Chaldean culture differed from that of the Sumerians, the Babylonians, and the Assyrians, chiefly in regard to the scientific achievements. Without doubt, the Chaldeans were the most capable scientists in all of Mesopotamian history, although their accomplishments were limited primarily to astronomy. They worked out the most elaborate system for recording the passage of time which had ever been devised. And with their invention of the 7-day week and their division of the day into 12 double hours of 120 minutes each, they kept accurate records of their observations of eclipses and other celestial occurrences for more than 350 years, 130 years longer than the United States of America, the Constitution has existed. Interesting and interesting indeed. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy." Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today.
Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so we're getting all over this Chaldean time period back so long ago, trying to understand more about them and more about us through looking back. We carefully study history, and this particular author is doing a great job. He's bringing some things together for us that even though I've studied a lot of this in the past and in different ways, this is a real nice compact version of the longer story. And it gives us an idea also as to some of what education is available to those that have gone to college, those that have attended universities, and at least many of the people that are currently in positions of power today, those at the higher levels, the older men, you know, they may very well have studied out of this textbook or something similar to it. So it gives us a window into the minds of the archists at the same time as it helps us to broaden our own understanding. I don't know how much one would have to pay today to take a course in Western civilization, but you're getting it here for free. So let's continue. Aside from, again, the religion, the Chaldean culture differed from the Sumerians. We talked about that. Their invention of the seven-day week and the division of the day into 12 double hours of 120 minutes each. You know, that's pretty important. Two of their most spectacular achievements were made by individual astronomers whose names have come down to us. In the 6th century, this is B.C., by the way, Nabu Rimana Nanu, or something like that, calculated the correct length of the year within about 26 minutes. Obviously, he understood geometry pretty well, and other things too. And about 100 years later, Kidinu discovered and proved the periodic change in the inclination of the Earth's axis. That's not a little bit of, that's not a bad bit of mathematics there. The motivating force behind the Chaldean astronomy was religion. You see what pushes things here. You know, today we have so much, the motivating force behind so much of the science that's coming out and the education that's coming out today is the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission and all of the various and sundries, the Bilderbergers, etc., government and government agencies. But in these times, so much of it was being pushed by religion. The chief purpose of mapping the heavens and collecting astronomical data was to discover the future which the gods had prepared for the race of men. You see, the farther they go into this, then their reality starts to shift, as though the planets are predicting the future of man, so to speak. Since the planets were the gods themselves, that future could best be divined in the movements of the heavenly bodies. Astronomy was therefore primarily astrology. Sciences other than astronomy continued in a backward state, probably because they were not definitely related to religion. And it continues. The Mesopotamian legacy, dropping down a little bit further in this, notwithstanding the relatively inferior quality of Mesopotamian civilization, its influence has been scarcely less than that of Egypt. So we have Egypt and Babylon here in our scales, looking at the two of them. And if you've missed the previous talks, you can go back in the archives, make full advantage of those archived broadcasts. I'll very likely never teach on this again. The influence exerted upon various nations of antiquity was even more significant. The Persians were profoundly affected by Chaldean culture. The Hittites, who aided the Kassites in overthrowing the Babylonians about 1750 BC, adopted the clay tablets, the cuneiform writing, the Gilgamesh epic, and much of the religion of the nation they had conquered. See, when you come in with the militarized militarism, you come in and you take over a people, you let them have 90% of their culture and tradition intact, and then you just rule them from above. And this is what was happening there. The Babylonian religion also had its effect upon the Phoenicians, as we'll find out a bit, as is evidenced by their worship of Ashtaroth or Ishtar and Tammuz. From the Sumerians or the old Babylonians, the Cainites derived a large part of their law as well as a good many of their religious beliefs. But the principal heirs of the Mesopotamian culture were the Hebrews. Underline that. Possibly as far back as 1800 BC, some of their ancestors had lived for a time in the northwestern portion of the valley between the two rivers. Numerous Mesopotamian traits were also acquired indirectly through contact with the Canaanites and the Phoenicians. It was probably in this manner that the Hebrews came into possession of the creation and flood legends, and a system of law which had its ultimate origin in the Mesopotamian civilization. And even greater influence was exerted during the period of captivity, from 586 to 539 BC. During these years, the Jews were brought into direct association for the first time with a rich and powerful nation. I'll say that again. During these years, the Jews were brought into direct association for the first time with a rich and powerful nation. In spite of their hatred of their captors, they unconsciously adopted many of their ways. We find the Babylonian Talmud and other things to testify to it. There is evidence, for example, that they acquired some of the Chaldean penchant for trade. In addition, much of the symbolism, pessimism, fatalism, and demonology of the Chaldeans passed into the religion of Judah, transforming it markedly from the character it had in the time of the prophets. And more is on that. Here's a footnote. The Hebrew calendar to this day contains a month named in honor of the god Tammuz. Mesopotamian institutions and beliefs also exerted their influence upon the Greeks and the Romans, although for the most part indirectly. The Stoic philosophy, with its doctrines of determinism and pessimism, may have reflected that influence in some measure, since its originator, Zeno, was a Semite, probably a Phoenician. A better case could be made for the Mesopotamian origin of such Roman practices as divination, worship of the planets as gods, and the use of the arch and the vault, arch, the arcus. Several of these elements were introduced to Romans by the Etruscans, a people of Western Asiatic origin. Others were brought in by the Romans themselves as a result of their military campaigns in Asia Minor. So they just bring it home with them. That there were natives of the Mesopotamian region resident in Rome in the later centuries of her history at least is evidenced by the fact that the Romans used the name Chaldeans as synonymous with astrologers and sought the aid of such persons on numerous occasions in divining the future, as did Nancy Reagan. So we can see something there of the Chaldeans. And from that we can move into the Persians. We're just going to keep racing right along straight through this because we're looking at this whole area, which eventually became, under Alexander, one great huge empire from the east to west, and it blurs the boundaries between the Oriental and the Occidental civilizations, if you will, east and west. And much of that, as I said, been translated into the development of Western civilization and finds its way all the way to Washington, D.C. and North America and the Americas in general. The civilization of ancient Persia. Now we're going to start to bring in even more interesting religions and beliefs and cultures. That would we choose Ahura Mazda and righteousness, the beautiful, so that we may think and speak and do whatever is the best of deeds of for both worlds. For the reward of the best deed we strive, that security and fodder be preserved for the kind. Whatever we be instructed or uninstructed, whether rulers or subjects, truly to the best of rulers is the kingdom, for we ascribe the kingdom to Ahura Mazda and to best righteousness. As a man or a woman knows what is right, with fervor let him execute what is right for himself and for whomever he can bring to understanding. That is by A.T. Olmsted, the Sevenfold Yasna. So now we're entering this Ahura Mazda, Zoroastrians, etc. The Chaldeans, as we have seen, were the last of the nations with a culture of essentially Mesopotamian. In 539 B.C., the Persians conquered the Valley of the Two Rivers, that would be the Tigris, the Euphrates, and soon afterward the whole empire of the Chaldean kings. But the Persians established what was really a new civilization. While they adopted much from the Chaldeans, they made no effort to preserve the old culture intact, and they introduced a great many new elements from other sources. Their religion was entirely different, while their art was compounded of elements taken from nearly every people they had conquered. Neither did they continue the Chaldean interest in science nor the development of business and industry. Finally, it should be remembered that the empire of the Persians included a great many territories which had never been subject to the Chaldean kings. And so as we continue to, idea of the greater Israel, you've seen the maps probably, the vision of going back to something far greater than what they ever had in the past, this idea of an ever-expanding kingdom of Israel. We see so much that has happened in the past that is repeating itself today. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
And we're back once again here in the last segment of today's broadcast. Now we're going into the civilization of ancient Persia. Very interesting, you know, go through time and people just kind of show up and then they get their, you know, names are given to them. It's that old Adam principle right out of the Bible, naming everything, you know. This one's named an aardvark and this one is an armadillo and this one's a zebra and that's a zygote. But we name people and so they then are remembered by that. And it's much the case here because comparatively little was known of the Persians before the 6th century BC. Up until that time, they appear to have led an obscure and peaceful existence on the eastern shore of the Persian Gulf. My question in all of this is that we've got people apparently living all of the time simultaneously all over the planet. And very little is known about some of them, and then they do something and they become noticeable, or they build something, or they come up with a religion, or largely they need to learn how to write, and then they write something that's interesting, and then people remember them in history. But such was the case here with these Persians. Up to that time, they appear, up to the 6th century BC, they appear to have led an obscure and peaceful existence on the eastern shore of the Persian Gulf. That would be modern-day Iran. Their homeland afforded only modest advantages on the east. It was hemmed in by high mountains, and its coastline was destitute of harbors. That's not a good combination for those days, but it is a way to secure yourselves, I guess, and you can develop and live a happy life for a long time with high mountains at your back, living along the coast of a waterway and no good harbors. Continuing, the fertile valleys of the interior, however, were capable of providing a generous subsistence for a limited population. And that's a time bomb ticking. That was the problem with that Germany faced. It's a problem that many, many countries have faced in the past. You have marginal soils or only small amounts of fertile soil, and as your population grows, you know, it's not arithmetic, it's geometrical, but as your population grows, you will overrun your area and you need to go out and look around and find someplace new. It's just, you know, so many people crowded into an elevator can hardly wait for you to arrive at the floor, and then everybody rushes out. Wow, finally, get out of that little elevator box. Well, that's the same case here apparently for the Persians. The fertile valley, again, save for the development of an elaborate religion, key phrase here. The people have made little progress. They had no system of writing, but they did have a spoken language closely related to Sanskrit and to the languages of ancient and modern Europe, and that's why we call these things Indo-European languages. It is for this reason alone, and not because of the race, that they are actually referred to as an Indo-European people, only for their language, however. At the dawn of their history, they were not an independent nation, but were vassals of the Medes, a kindred people who ruled over a great empire north and east of the Tigris River, the Medes and the Persians. You've heard of that before. In 559, a prince by the name of Cyrus became king of the southern Persian tribe. About 5 years later, he made himself a ruler of all the Persians, and then developed an ambition for domination over neighboring peoples, such as it goes. This is a self-fulfilling prophecy. This is a repeating link. As Cyrus the Great, he has gone down in history as one of the most sensational conquerors of all time. Within the short space of 20 years, he founded a vast empire, larger than any that had previously existed. Notice the way that these empires come and these empires go. But here in a space of 20 years, why a space of 20 years? Well, because he was swinging the sword, folks. Not like Jorge Bush and Barry the Usurper, hiding in the Oval Office, eating dainties. These guys led the armies. They did the conquering. Alexander forked the horse, you know, to put it mildly. Continuing here, and dropping down, at any rate, Cyrus's conquest of the Medes was achieved with such slight opposition that it meant little more than a change of dynasties. Cyrus profited also from the dissension within the Chaldean states, as we noted in the preceding chapter, and from the decrepit condition of other Near Eastern empires. And so he was just like the right man at the right time, with a strong right arm. They call him the mighty men of valor in the old days. Moreover, the geographic conditions of the Persian homeland were particularly conducive to expansion. And we've talked about this geographic aspect of civilizations in the past. The limited area of fertile land, the lack of other resources, and the rich bordering countries inviting conquest were factors which made it virtually inevitable that the nation would break through the confines of its original territory just as soon as the pinch of poverty began to be felt. And so, just as soon as the pinch of poverty began to be felt in America, in the United States of America, we immediately turn our eyes to Mexico and Canada and go into the Security and Prosperity Partnership Agreement, the North American Free Trade Union, you know, NAFTA, GATT, and all the rest of that. Things just repeat over and over and over again. Unfortunately, dropping down a little bit further here, he formed alliances with Egypt and Sparta and then consulted the Greek oracle at Delphi as to the advisability of an immediate attack. According to Herodotus, the oracle replied that if you cross the Halys, which is just south of the Caucasus Mountains, I think it's just south of the Black Sea, if memory serves me right, the Halys River. If he would just cross the Halys and assume the offensive, he would destroy a great army. And he did. But that army was his own. One of those times when you got to be careful what you wish for. He goes to the oracle, and the oracle says, hey, no problem. You're going to destroy a great army. Now he's all puffed up, and he goes out and he destroys his own. His forces were completely overwhelmed, and his prosperous little kingdom was annexed to as a province of the Persian state. 7 years later, in 539 BC, Cyrus took advantage of discontent and conspiracies in the Chaldean Empire to capture the city of Babylon. His victory was an easy one, for he had the assistance of the Jews within the city and of the Chaldean priests who were dissatisfied with the policies of the new king. So we can understand that we've got Jews within the city and our Chaldean priests dissatisfied with the policies of the Constitution for the United States of America, and they're basically just assisting our enemies to conquer from within. The conquest of the Chaldean capital made possible the rapid extension of control over the whole empire, and thereby added the Fertile Crescent to the domains of Cyrus. The great conqueror died in 529 BC, apparently as the result of wounds received in a war with barbarian tribes. Once again, these conquerors were actually doing the conquering. They were riding with their people. And the horse made it a lot easier to do that. In fact, it was the ability to ride a horse, straddle a horse, and forge a sword that was long enough to reach from the horse's back down to the ground that made a lot of this conquering possible. This was this new militarization, like having an Abrams tank in the 6th century before Christ. He was succeeded in all of this by his son Cambyses, who conquered Egypt in 525, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, by the time we get around to Darius here, and you look at the area that was under Darius's sword, it's huge. You wouldn't think it would be possible in a lifetime to conquer that much land, but they did. Darius the First, or Darius the Great, as he's somewhat inaccurately called, ruled over the empire from 521 to 486. So you're looking about 40 years. Again, tie it to the life of the man. The early years of his reign were occupied in suppressing the revolts of subject people and improving the administration organization of the state. And in both of these tasks, he achieved considerable success. We just relate it right to the changing guard in the United States. And we can see how this thing goes in periods of 4 and 8 years and 4 and 8 years and 4 and 8 years. History just keeps marching along, being made every day around us. We're either going to be part of creating and shaping that future and making history ourselves, or we'll just have to be written up in the history book as the also-rans. There are things that we can do right where we are locally. And I encourage you to try and think along those lines. But at the same time, as we're going through all of this, if it is true, and I think it is true, and this is what we're developing, that religions are just basically the invention of man, and all of these various gods and mysteries and so on and so forth, then maybe we've been led astray by a lot of the people who would clamor to be leaders. And all they're asking us to do is wear retreads. Think about it. We'll see you again tomorrow with my special guest, Don Parmeter. Until then, have a great day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information, is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.